I want to start with a portion of a verse in Ecclesiastes 7 and 13. And it simply says, consider the work of God. And I want to connect that then with the creation. And not really going into a lot of depth of the creation, but to just consider where his work really began. In Genesis, the second chapter in verse 2, it says, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested from all of his work. So the work of God, as you and I believe and read, was in 6 days. And you and I can look about us and we can see the handiwork of God. It is still here. And there is much of his work that we cannot even see. It's beyond our human ability to see the true depth of all of his work. I was speaking with Paul Wednesday night, and he was describing the test that he had to take. And if I remember correctly, it had to do with the brain. Was that correct? And the terms and all that he had to learn concerning the human brain was almost beyond him. He looks upon those things that he studies, that man has studied out, man has discovered about how God created even the earth, but the human body is beyond what we can hardly take in. And yet, God did it.
He did.
It was his work. You notice when you read the passage there of the creation at various times when he would end a day, he would say he was very pleased, or it was good. And at one point, after the sixth day, he said, it was very good. On the sixth day, he created all of the creatures, and that's when he created man to be in his likeness and in his image. And we read that passage, and it says, let us create man in our likeness and in our image. And so we read that and we have to say it was plural. He didn't say, let's create man in according to how I or me. He used the word our. And we can study the word and come over into the New Testament and find that Christ was before the foundation of the world. And that the Father loved him before the foundation of the world. Those are scriptures. So we can say that when man was created, he was created in the likeness of the Father and the Son. Thank the Lord. And again, he was very pleased. He said it was very good. But then we skip on down just a few verses and we find that that which God created fell and sin entered into the world. And we have to then go back just a little bit and see what David said. And I'm just going to give you a couple of verses out of Psalms 8, 3 and 4. Parts of 4. He said, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He considered all that God created, but then he said, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Man was elevated above all the creatures of this world. And man was commanded to have dominion. And I believe that God is the one, through his work, that he has opened up the eyes and the understanding and the intellect down through the thousands of years that man has discovered what they have discovered of the earth. There was a time that the earth, men thought that it was flat. They thought that you could fall off the edge if you went out so far. But God allowed man to discover it was round. It was not man. It was God.
That's right.
God's handiwork had to be revealed unto man. And it's been the same all down through the ages of time, that all that man has discovered, the fact that man went to the moon, it was God. Man did not just get that knowledge and understanding. The scriptures tell us, and we probably quoted it last Sunday, that his thoughts are far above our thoughts, and his ways are far above our ways. We are so feeble without God. But he can open up our minds. He can teach us. And he has done it. He has revealed himself. And so David here said, he just simply considered the heavens. He considered the moon and the stars. And it brought his mind then to feeble man. And he said, what is man that thou art mindful of man? And I want to say this morning that the true work of God, yes, he had to create where you and I live. He had to provide it. And he did a perfect job. No matter what the scientists, no matter what anybody says, that this world is going to use up all of their resources, the sun is going to come to its end, it's not going to come to its end. God created it to last until it needed to end. And we don't have to worry about that. But his work is really with man. He orders all things. He has the power over all things. The scriptures plainly tells us that he even is concerned about the political things of this world. And I'm not talking about the United States alone. He has all power. He sets up kings. And he takes down kings. And so he has his work even in the governments. And yet it comes down to even the government of his own people. He has a government that the scripture says is on his shoulder. That he places everyone in the body that pleaseth him. He knows exactly what to do with his body in the earth. Thank the Lord. So he's mindful, and I believe we could say his work is concerning mankind. And far beyond the walls of this building right here, far beyond even that which he claims as his body in the earth, which he's pleased with, which he treasures. He looks upon his people in the earth, wherever they are, in whatever nationality they are, whatever tongue they speak, he knows their language. Oh, I love that. I've been so impressed with that.
Yes.
He's not limited in language because he created it. Mm-hmm. He gave the language. And so his work is with mankind. And the scriptures tells us that he is not willing for any to perish, but for every soul that comes upon the face of the earth, that he breathes in their nostrils the breath of life and they become that living soul. It's his will that they find repentance. And he's provided that for him, for man. The next scripture that I have is also in Psalms, and it's also 40th chapter, verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts are to usward. When we think of his mind and his thoughts being far above our thoughts, there's another scripture that says he condescends to men of low estate. He comes down and he meets with us. He understands that you and I are dust. He understands our humanity. He knows us individually. He knows our personality. He knows our family characteristics. His work is to work with us from that point of view. He knows how to temper us. He knows how to minister to us. He knows how to bless us. But he has thoughts to usward. And it says, they cannot, his thoughts to usward cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, or his thoughts to me, they are more than can be numbered. You and I need a little more clear vision of how God looks at you and me. He's very interested. One thing that I have learned in the past few weeks is that God is very interested in those things that I am concerned about. Those things that I come before him and I pour my heart out, and maybe I am weeping and I'm telling him my whole burden. He is concerned about those things. He's very interested in doing a work that you and I are asking to be done. Lord, help us to believe it. That he is a great and a mighty God that hears our cries and is willing to work when we ask him to work. Thank the Lord. We need faith, don't we? We need to believe that he is a God that works for us. We want to go to the thought of his work of redemption. When Jesus hung on the cross, he simply said, "It is finished."
Yes.
The plan is now complete. I am going to need some Kleenex if you could come and get them. We don't have to look for anything else to come. Over in Revelations, it says that we are not to add to it. And we're not to take away from it. We don't have wisdom to even say we're wiser than God. We don't have that. He's already provided the entire plan His plan of redemption is complete. His plan for keeping man is complete. We don't have to say I need more than they did in the generation before us. We need the same. He's already provided the keeping grace. Thank the Lord. There is a song I would like for you to sing. It's 117 in the Blue Book. So if you could get your Blue Books this morning and let's sing, What Can He Do? Thank the Lord.
What can He do with the hope of life within? Lift up the fallen man out of the sinking sand through Calvary's saving plan.
That yes, amen. God is able in His work for you and me to save us to the uttermost. He does a complete plan when He saves us. I believe that he is a healer. I believe that he is able to deliver. I believe that he is able to take you and me to heaven. When our life comes to an end, he will take us there.
Yes, thank the Lord.
Praise God.
Amen.
I believe that he can do more than even what this song says. That he has a work he wants to perform in me and in you. I believe that he can do that which other powers cannot do. When we sing these songs, often we sing them just by memory. And we don't stop and we don't really think about the words. So we need to think about the things that he can do that other powers cannot do. And we need to think about the times when we are sad and blue and that he hears our prayers. And that he drives the clouds away, thank the Lord, and that he turns the darkest night to day. And if you haven't been there, you will be. It will happen. And you will need the work of God to lift you out of those dark, low places. So I want to go another step farther and speak to you about man. I'm going to give you a scripture now in Proverbs 16:9. And it says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." The connecting scripture is Jeremiah 10:23. "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps." Oh, it will pay us to realize we cannot direct our own steps. We may try to direct our own ways or think we can or think we know, but it is God. It is God that directeth our steps. It will pay us to recognize how feeble we are in our everyday walk. Oh, I want to encourage us this morning again to cry out to the Lord for every detail of your life throughout the day, whatever your needs are, even if it's something that you're fully capable of doing, such as, "Lord, I need you to help me with this test." Even if you've studied, you still need God. "Help me on my job. Help me to fit this piece of board right in here." We saw a little video. Somebody that was trying to fit a frame right in and it fit perfectly. Do you think they did that by talent? Or was there a prayer that was prayed that said, "Lord, help me to make this thing fit"? God loves to work with your hands and my hands, even when we may be capable. And why does he want that? He wants the glory. He loves it when you and I turn and say, "Praise God. Thank you, Lord. You helped me with this." Oh, don't fail to thank the Lord for every breath. Oh, you say that's going too far. No, he gives us breath. He gives us life. Thank him for all that he does. Be conscious of the Lord's hand working in your life, in your daily life. Be conscious of it. Now I want to give you a portion of a scripture in 1 Corinthians 12:3, and it simply says, "I show you a more excellent way." When you and I think we may know the way, he has a more excellent way. He knows how to help us I'm thinking of the allegory of Pilgrim's Progress, and I don't know, they say that that's probably the one of the most read books next to the Bible. I don't know if that's still a fact, but at one time it may have been. But that book was definitely written for the Christian, for the child of God. And it opened up to the mind of one that is following Christ to sort of get a picture of the highway to the celestial city. You and I are on a highway to the celestial city. And we don't know what is tomorrow. We know not the future. And Christian didn't know anything about the future either. But the writer did. The writer had some experiences. And by writing it, and by you and me taking the book and reading it or studying it, we find that we are in some way prepared and we're enlightened, and in some way we are made aware. And we're certainly made aware that the way is not smooth. We're made aware that there's not flowers blooming along the way and everything is going to go perfect. If I give my heart and life to the Lord, that's going to solve all of my problems. It will solve your problems, but not in the way man thinks. Right. It's just the beginning of a path that you and I have not experienced. And yet this book has helped us to recognize and be prepared. There's some rough ways, rough roads ahead. And I'm not to be shocked. I believe the scripture even tells us about our temptations. The temptations are common to man. We're not to be shocked at those things that come into our life. We're to look to the one that can help us and recognize, without him, I'm nothing. And without him, I can do nothing. And so this path that is presented in Pilgrim's Progress, where did it lead? It led to heaven's gate all the way. And the work of God is to take you and me successfully to heaven's gate at the end of our life. And he only knows how to do it. I don't know how. I don't know how to direct my own steps. I pray a lot of times for the Lord to put things in my life to read or to study that will be a benefit. And I feel like that he has done this in this little reading. And if you will bear with me, I want to read just a paragraph or so. It was in a old Streams in the Desert. Lauren picks up Streams in the Desert. Anybody need a Streams in the Desert? We have many of them. We'll gladly give them to you. But this one was given to a daughter that was graduating in 1937. And this really opened up my eyes a little bit. I hope that it will be a blessing to you. And for a parent to have the burden for their child in this way, we need a burden for our children. But I want to read it. It says, "May the teachings of this little book be a factor in molding your Christian life, and may you learn from its pages to look outward and upward." Do you know that you and I are going to always have to look inward and outward and upward? The scripture tells us that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I don't believe that the saint of God has a wicked heart. I don't believe it. But I believe the potential is there for the enemy to take advantage of, to deceive us or to blind us. I believe that. And I believe it is trying to say to you and me, you need to watch and pray and guard your sacrifice and guard your heart. I believe that's what it's saying. And so we need to be awake and alert to our own passions, our own feelings, our own desires. We have to be looking a little bit inward by the help of the Lord. Lord, you search me. You reveal it to me. If I need correction, correct me. Have that attitude. But we must also always be looking outward to what the Lord wants to do in our life. And we must be looking upward. And this is what it said, and this is what caught my attention. From the fortunes and this word, I had never heard this word before. I had to go to the dictionary and look it up. And this word is vicissitude. Vicissitude. Have you ever heard that word? I hadn't either. Do you know what it means? It means irregular changes. So life is going to have some changes, irregular changes. It's not all going to be the same. It's not going to go perfectly every day or every year. And the older you get, there's going to be changes. And you and I are going to need the work of God. And this is to look outward and upward from the fortunes or the irregular changes. We have to look away from those things that they not control us, control and affect our faith, control us in that we begin to trust in ourselves, or we begin to trust in our works. Our works. Our works can't save us. But His work can. So we look away from those things according to this little writing. And it said the changes of life into the face of a great loving God who is able to make fresh living waters out of the muddy, choked, stagnant streams that flow through the desert places of our lives. You ever been there? You ever found some desert places in your life? And the fresh, springing water was not there, but you look into the face of God and He is able, yes, in His work to bring fresh, living water to refresh, renew us. But we have to look away from the fortunes. I don't know what fortunes they're really talking about here, but we have to look away from the irregular changes that come into our life and look into the face of God. Oh, that just spoke to me. And so when I thought of my life and what God has done for me, I think everyone here could relate to the word of God this morning of what God has worked in your life. We were pretty rough creatures. He had His work cut out for Him. Do you believe that? I believe God had His work cut out when He chose me. So we have some scriptures now. I want to go to Isaiah, the 45th chapter. I want to look at verses 2 and 3. And he says, I will go before thee. If God does not go before us, where will we be? He goes before us to prepare the way. And then it says, He would make the crooked places straight. You ever needed the Lord to straighten out some places in your life? He knows how to do it. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Have you ever found treasures in your trials, in your dark places, in your valleys? Or has it all been on the mountaintop?
No.
It hasn't been. And He has some treasures for you and me in those dark places that you cannot taste of or find any other way but to be in that dark place. And it will turn to be a treasure. He said in one place that He would bring you and me out into a wealthy place, but it's out of it. It's not in it. We go through it. We are in it. He allows us to be in these places, and He's teaching us something. Don't you know that you and I are in a school all of our walk with the Lord? Don't you know that you start out and you're just in the first grade? And don't you know a first grader has no conception of what it is to be in the 12th grade? But if that first grader graduates and goes to the second grade and the third grade and the fourth grade and continues up the line, ever learning, ever being taught, he'll graduate. He'll come out with an understanding and with knowledge. Oh, thank the Lord. It's the same with you and me and walking with the Lord. Let us be in the grade where we are. Don't try to jump to the 12th grade until you're ready. Let the Lord make the crooked places straight. Let's read some more. Isaiah 42 and 16. This is a wonderful, wonderful passage here. Verse 42 and 16. And he says, I will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. Oh, have you ever gotten up in the dark and just have to feel your way around? Have you ever thought of what it's like to be blind when you're trying to feel your way around in your house in the night? Oh, it's so wonderful to be able to see.
Yes.
But it takes Him to open our eyes. It takes Him to open our minds. And it says, He will bring the blind by a way that they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. He has a path that is just right for you. And He has a path just right for me. And it says, I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. And these things will I do unto them and not forsake them. He'll be there. He'll be there in the dark places where He wants to reveal His treasures. He'll be there to help us when we're in a path that we don't know where it's going to lead. We don't know where to put our foot next. He'll be there.
Thank the Lord.
And the next one is on Isaiah 40, verse 4. And he says, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the reference says smooth. You're going to pass through some paths where it's way down in the valley, but He knows how to lift us up. And when you're in that place of in the mountaintop, and you think it can never get any better than that, It isn't long till you understand he's going to bring us down. And it's all for our good. He says all things work together for good. But we have to lend it. We have to submit to it. We have to allow his good to be performed, his work to be performed in us. Our final scripture is Hebrews 12 and 2, just a portion of that scripture. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you look up those references on the word author, it says originator. He is the one that has ordered it all. It's his work. He's created a path that will lead to the gate of heaven with your name on it, my name on it. He is the originator of it because he knows you personally. He knows what is best for you and what is best for me. And the word finisher means perfecter. He is a perfecter of our faith. He's a perfecter of our lives. He's a perfecter of our personalities. He's a perfecter of whatever interests us that he sees we need. He'll perfect it. And in closing, I'm going to give you a little poem that I came across. And I trust, I'm not one that really is of poetry. Just occasionally I come across something that just speaks to me. So I hope that you can listen to it and gain something from it. I carefully laid every plan. The future seemed so bright. My hopes and dreams, they towered high. I saw no trace of night. And then at closing of the day, I knelt in usual prayer and prayed, dear Lord, bless every plan and all that I hope and dare. But day by day, my plans all failed. My hopes came tumbling down. All my ambitions disappeared and failure was my crown. Perplexed, I could not understand. Had I not knelt in prayer and ask that every plan and hope would find a blessing rare. Then in the stillness of the night, out from the shadows dim, I heard a sweet persuading voice that called me close to him. Why don't you let me make your plans? I've trod the path before. Just leave the future in my hands. I'll lead thee o'er and o'er. No longer do I pray at once, dear Lord, bless all my plans. But now I pray, Lord, plan for me. The future's in thy hands. We have a song that says, I know who holds tomorrow. You and I don't know who holds stuff. We don't know about tomorrow. But we can know who holds our hand. I trust that the Lord will encourage you this morning. That all of those places that may be rough in your life, he can make them smooth. The valleys, he will bring them up. But the mountains, he will bring it down. It's all the same to him. He uses it all because he has us on a path to the celestial city. And it's his work. It's his work to get you and me there. Pray for me.